All right, our first guest on this very special marijuana-focused edition of ETF Prime is Dan Ahrens, Chief Operating Officer at AdvisorShares and Portfolio Manager for the AdvisorShares Pure Cannabis ETF, ticker symbol YOLO. Dan, great reconnecting. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Dan, first, how's everything been going so far with YOLO? The ETF has now been out for, a little over 3 months. Everything going well so far?
Well, it's growing. It's growing regularly. We're getting creation units, and the fund's growing in assets. But at the same time, marijuana stocks have been kind of lousy performers. I said they'd always be volatile. The last few months, they've been largely negative. But we'll get into it. Could be a huge buying opportunity.
All right, so take us through the ETF. This is actively managed. Maybe describe your investment process and how you're approaching the cannabis space overall.
Well, certainly. It's, as you said, actively managed in something that's rapidly changing, rapidly growing and evolving. New stocks coming to market all the time. M&A activity. We think it's infinitely important to be actively managed. Another point about the fund is with active management, everybody's heard about some of these transactions that have happened in the space. Canopy Growth, Aurora, Tilray. Those are the big names, but I'm going to say they've already had transactions. They've had transactions from, alcohol companies and tobacco companies, people like this. And we want to hand select the stocks that we're going to overweight and underweight, a few stocks that we're going to avoid completely. And we're not going to have those usual suspects, the most heavily weighted, because they've already had transactions. Now, we invest in a number of stocks that are listed on the New York Stock Exchange, on NASDAQ, also the Toronto and the Toronto Venture, TSX and the TSXV, are the main exchanges. So a lot of Canadian players, but a very important thing in our fund that you're not going to find in the very few competitors that exist is we were a little bit innovative, we think, and we're investing in U.S. companies, United States companies that are commonly called MSOs or multi-state operators. And we're using a swap contract with a counterparty to get exposure to these U.S. companies. The United States is an infinitely bigger market than Canada is. We don't want to be too limited in what we're doing.
Dan, on that point, so YOLO is the only cannabis ETF with that exposure to U.S. pot producers, these multi-state operators, and you're using swaps to accomplish this. If you don't mind, I want to play a quick clip for you. So Innovation Shares, Matt Markovich, he was on Bloomberg's ETF IQ, and he was asked about whether they would ever use swaps. Take a listen to this.
Our trust counsel did have to issue a legal opinion in order for this to, get satisfied by the SEC. And the swap option that you're referring to for the multi-state operators or the companies that touch cannabis in the United States, it's not something that our trust counsel felt comfortable with in the near term anyway. So from that perspective, there are plenty of companies to own in the space that don't have to be involved directly in the United States cannabis industry.
So I wanted to ask you about this because I think it's important to cover, just given that swaps are a major difference between YOLO and the other cannabis ETFs. Does this all really just come down to lawyers and legal opinions?
I don't want to talk about the competition too much, things like this, but it's a little bit silly. We have one of the most experienced legal counsels in the United States that's in the ETF space. And we're working with one of the biggest custodian banks in the world, and they're comfortable with everything we're doing here. Our prospectus was reviewed by the SEC. We also had a legal opinion written that the SEC requested. And it says right there in our principal investment strategies, you know, in the front of the prospectus, that we're going to use, you know, derivative contracts and, you know, swaps and options and futures if we choose to get exposure to cannabis stocks. Now, it's a limited amount. You know, working with the New York Stock Exchange, working with the SEC, we can have up to 20% of our portfolio in derivatives. But again, we did everything correctly. We did a lot of work, a lot of communication with the New York Stock Exchange, with the Bank of New York Mellon, the custody bank, with the SEC. And, you know, we think we have a very good portfolio because we think diversification between Canada and the United States and the cultivation companies that we're primarily invested in, but also there's you know, biotech and pharmaceutical. There's even a real estate company, a REIT, that's one of our top holdings because they have warehouses and greenhouses and land for the marijuana producers, the cultivation companies that are in the United States. So even when we're talking about a very specialty fund like cannabis, we have diversification between those things. Again, actively managed, and as our name implies, pure cannabis. So not only is there not the alcohol and tobacco companies and so on, if, you know, if somebody wants to invest in a cannabis fund, I think they want a cannabis fund. They don't want alcohol and tobacco where they're investing in cannabis, but cannabis is still a real small part of their revenue. And we don't have, you know, Scott's Miracle-Grow. And, you know, cannabis is a real small part of Scott's Miracle-Grow business. Yeah, they're getting involved in it, but no. If you want to invest in cannabis, you believe in the huge growth potential that we believe in for the long term, we think you want pure cannabis.
Dan, this is Jason. Like, you know, USA stocks and certainly Canadian stocks get the attention, certainly with the swap techniques you're using. But looking forward, isn't the growth of cannabis an international, a worldwide phenomena? It's not just in North America. Do you see opportunities and growth and just ideas overseas?
Absolutely. No, and thank you for mentioning that. It's really, really interesting. If we were having this conversation 2 years ago, I would have said, no, we can't do a marijuana fund. There's not enough to invest in. They're a bunch of penny stocks. There's not enough size and liquidity. Now there is enough size, enough liquidity, a lot of stocks to invest in. And not only looking at the map of the United States and all the states that are having, some are having recreational approval, some a lot are having medical marijuana use approval, but the worldwide map is huge. There's a lot happening in Central and South America. We have exposure in Israel, exposure in Africa. There is an awful lot happening, and it's happening really, really quickly on a worldwide basis.
Dan, going back to your point on not owning alcohol and tobacco companies, just playing devil's advocate, I think the argument for owning these is that they seem pretty well positioned in the event marijuana does become legalized in the U.S., right? So for example, with tobacco companies, they are in the business of delivering leaves rolled in paper, right? So theoretically, they'd be well positioned for marijuana. Why avoid those types of companies?
Well, again, if somebody wants to invest in the potential growth in cannabis, you want to invest in cannabis. You don't want to buy a tobacco stock. Now, you are absolutely right about those companies, their marketing muscle, their experience, all these things. But do you know what we're going to see? We're going to see merger and acquisition activity. I want to invest in the stock that may be acquired. I don't want to invest in the stock that's going to be acquiring. Again, if we're talking about a tobacco company, alcohol company, which I'm a big believer in, we even have another fund, Advisor Shares by CTF, ACT, that invest in alcohol and cannabis related things and tobacco. And it's, you know, it's a much smoother ride if you're investing in those things. Cannabis stocks, pure cannabis, can be very volatile. Never going to shy away from that. But that's where the huge growth potential is in our view.
All right, so in terms of that huge growth potential, if we were to look at sort of the longer-term investment opportunity and maybe break the market into three broad groups, so I'll go recreational, medical, and then we'll just say other use cases, whether industrial uses for hemp or CBD oil or whatever. I'm curious, which of those markets excites you the most in terms of the longer-term opportunity?
Well, a lot of the companies that we invest in, whether they are, you know, in Canada or actually in the U.S., they're doing both. They are, you know, shipping for medical marijuana use in states that is legal, and they're, you know, in recreational use states as well. And of course, Canada is, you know, approved for recreational use. So most of the companies that are cultivation agriculture companies, which is, you know, the biggest focus of our fund, they do both. Now, we also invest in companies that are pure CBD hemp, and you know, there's other companies that also you know, get into the materials, the bottles, the papers, stores. There's other areas to invest in that are related.
Dan, on the recreational side, I was actually reading that edibles are one of the fastest growing categories, baked goods and gummies, drinks. Do you have any insight into that market? Seems pretty interesting.
No, it's interesting, and that's just a sign of the times. It's not all about smoking anymore. Lots of what we'll call them delivery methods, and yeah, it's very rapidly growing, and it's very interesting. And again, it's a new and young industry, and we're convinced that as various types of legality keep moving forward, yeah, we're going to see consolidation, and we're going to see not only the alcohol and tobacco companies, but as you just implied, we're going to see food companies. So think of the big companies in America that are in, you know, all types of food and drinks, and they're very experienced already. They are, you know, into retail marketing. And, yeah, they're going to be consolidation, and they're going to be acquiring, you know, these young and up and growing cannabis companies.
Dan, of course, as we talk about this, the 800-pound gorilla is, you know, the federal legislation. It's, you know, it's not legal. No one has a crystal ball, and I don't follow the political process if and when, you know, cannabis would be legalized. Do you have analysts? Do you have your finger in the air? What's the pulse of Washington if or when there may be some major moves in legislation regarding cannabis?
Again, it's changed so rapidly only in the last 2 years. And there seems to be a very much of a groundswell of support for some form of legalization. Now, this is a very important point. I very regularly say we don't need a federal legalization. I don't even see that happening. What we do need, and this is already working its way through Congress, is a banking bill. Fixing the banking would be a huge step. Or just a decriminalization. So right now, marijuana is officially a DEA Schedule I drug. If they reschedule that, and they simply say at the federal level, it's not going to be a Schedule I drug, we're going to decriminalize it, then leave it up to the states, that'd be a huge step for the United States and great for these stocks.
Well, and Dan, to your point, I believe there's something called the STATES Act that's currently making its way through Congress, right, which would give individual states the ability to make their own laws about marijuana legalization. And there's also the SAFE Banking Act, which would really do the same at the financial institution level. So, you know, certainly making some headway there. Dan, really appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on YOLO's success so far, but always appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That was Dan Ahrens, Chief Operating Officer at AdvisorShares, and you can learn more about YOLO by visiting AdvisorShares.com.